Part 5, Section 33, The Angel of Death. Lewis' sister writes the following account of those last days in Cairo, Egypt. There she nursed the sick and wounded with every bit of her limited strength. The soldiers adored her and called her the Lady in Blue because of her dress. In the last years of her life, Lua always wore a simple costume, blue in colour and very conservative. Abdu'l-Bahá had earlier suggested a more modest dress, and Lua had obeyed at once, never to change the style. A friend whom Lua had introduced to the faith in California described Lua's ethereal look with her large blue eyes, brown hair, fair skin. The impact was softened by her temperate dress and often proved a safeguard to her during many hazardous experiences in many countries as she travelled in her service to the faith. This friend has written, "Later in San Francisco, Lua gave me a pair of long white kid gloves, the last remnant of her finery which she had enjoyed so much." The days during which Lua had lived in both worlds were gone. For years her heart had been anchored only in the kingdom. Lua kept her failing health a secret from all. She had been violently stricken with fever while in India. This proved too much for an always frail body. Lua's strong spirit had hidden her delicate health from almost everyone throughout her life. But the Master was always aware of Lua's suffering. She rose above illness and pain to carry out his command to teach. At one particularly desperate time of illness in Lua's life, Abdu'l-Bahá is reported to have said, "I told the angel of death to stay away." The fever now had greatly sapped her strength and gravely afflicted her heart. While working at intense pitch during those last hectic weeks in a world gone mad with war, Lua contracted pneumonia. She rallied for a short while, but her spirit would not let her rest. She felt too keenly the shortness of time. She could think of but one word, teach. One day Lua said to some of her friends, "I am sure that until the last days of our lives we shall be learning lessons, for this world is a school from which we graduate only when we leave it. I shall be glad when the last days come and the school is forever, as far as I am concerned, dismissed." Then she looked at the picture of Abdu'l-Bahá which hung on the wall and said, "But his will, not mine, be done, for all I ever want to do is his will and to be severed from all save God." During those days, Lua was busily writing an account of my last months with Abdu'l-Bahá. She wrote to her fellow Baha'is in America, telling them that Abdu'l-Bahá was well. Abdu'l-Bahá had given Lua the assignment of carrying the latest news to the Baha'is in Africa, Europe, and America. "Now is the time," he told her, "for you to go and give news to the friends in Egypt, Europe, and America. It is a long time that they are without any word, and I desire to send you to them, after which you are to go and teach." Lua reached Egypt, was delayed by the war, so at once she began her teaching work there in Africa. She wrote to America, apologizing for her delay. "I do not just yet know when I shall reach America," she told them, "as I have some work to do in France first. I am sent forth again to herald the covenant by its holy center, Abdu'l-Bahá, and I shall do it with his divine assistance, better and more powerfully than I have ever done. Please say to all the friends that I love them all, and I'm ready to meet them in the spirit of the center of God's holy covenant, which is naught save pure, spiritual, divine love. I wish everybody success in the service of his great cause, and ask them to pray for me, the least and most unworthy of all his faithful servants. Yours in the service and love of Abdu'l-Bahá. Signed, Lua, Port Said, Egypt, September 21, 1915. Although her health was failing, Lua increased the tempo of her teaching activities. The poorer she felt, the more intense became her determination to serve. Lua's friends pleaded with her to rest. She smiled and said, "The Master does not rest." He said, "Sometimes material rest can deprive us of spiritual rest." Late one spring day in Cairo, Lua returned to her home. She had spent many long hours instructing some students who were eager to hear more about the Baha'i Faith. Lua was very weak and tired, but in spite of this, she had never looked more radiant and gay. Lua bade her friends a loving good night and went to her room. A short time later, they heard a sharp cry of pain. Lua was in great anguish. Even then, she thought of only one thing, Abdu'l-Bahá. She called out loudly three times, "God is most glorious, God is most glorious, God is most glorious." This time the angel of death did not stay away. Lua was not quite 45 when she died, so very young and so very beautiful.